Hello and welcome in to a very special So Rare Data show today. I'm Andrew Laird. You can find me as Laird Daniel on So Rare. Joined today by the fine gentlemen from Make It a Double Double, Mark, Adam, and Aaron, actually to talk about So Rare Sevens. Gentlemen, I am so excited that you're here. Simple as that. So thanks for coming up.
Well, we've talked about it for a little while, haven't we? We've thrown it around a little bit, but I'm obviously very sad, so I'm going to have to let Mark and Aaron lead the way because unfortunately I was unable to attend, so I'm just along for the ride today, just here for the vibes.
And we haven't heard the end of it.
you never will.
The irony of you missing this is that you may come out of this happier than anyone else, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Thank you everybody for joining us. There's been a lot of excitement to hear about So Rare Sevens particularly, and Vita's here. We just said, if anybody just looking for a few more points on their Opta score that we did, he does accept ETH payments. But anyway, thanks everyone for coming in. Mark, I believe you are the one who, I'll put it, does most of the work for So Rare Sevens. So for those of you who are, for everyone who is unfamiliar, could you kind of just tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so I'm the brains of the operation. These two are just the face. Think of that, we will. But yeah, so basically, Az started a WhatsApp group 2 years ago, and we all joined, and we were chatting for ages about So Rare, and we all decided that wouldn't it be great if we all met up and had a kick around? This was May last year, was it, boys?
Yeah, something like that.
And so we put a tweet out on Twitter, obviously, to see who else would be interested, and we had about 150 people message us back saying we'd be keen for a kick around somewhere. So we kind of thought, well, okay, this is a thing, so let's turn it into something good. And if we're going to do it, let's make the effort and do it properly. So that's where So Rare Sevens was born. Decided to make it a seven-a-side tournament. Our first one was in Ilkeston in Nottingham last year. So we set up an Eventbrite page, threw out some tickets, and we had, you know, what was it, 40, 50 people last year?
I think it was 56 altogether, wasn't it? Which was
mad, considering at that time, that was before Make It a Double Double as well. So,
yeah.
You know, it was just a few people off Twitter, you know, people putting their trust in us was mental, really, and sending us some money so we could book the pitches and all that sort of stuff. And it sort of snowballed. And on the back of Ilkeston, there was so much interest that we had a lot of contact from the Scottish community. So we decided to do one in Falkirk. So I think the So Rare contingent pretty much added about 20% to the population of Falkirk last weekend.
It looked like a great event. I will say that it's no surprise to me that you really wanted to make it a thing and make it like, if you're going to do it, you do it right. Particularly the one who like cooks roast duck and quinoa for himself. And so that's like, if you're going to do something right, you do it right. I get it. And so it's obviously an event that a lot of people are now very interested in. I think the more that Make It a Double Double gets out and the more that people talk about it, there are going to be more interest in it. You do have plans for more of them. Do you want to tell us at least some dates and places where people may be able to participate next time?
Yeah, so we've actually got two lined up for the summer, both in July. You may have seen a couple of teasers being put out by Nacho Heras, who contacted us, and he would like to do a So Rare European Championships. And I must say that right, because the word Euros is trademarked and we're not allowed to use the word Euros.
Wouldn't dream of it.
Yeah. So Rare European Championships. So we're looking to do that in Paris on the weekend of the 6th and 7th of July. I'll keep looking down because I've got it all written down, otherwise I'll forget. And basically the aim of that is we'd like to invite seven different nations to compete in a five-a-side tournament this time. So there'll be squads of eight or nine, maybe, from each nation, and also So Rare and maybe So Rare Data may have a joint team if the data team are interested in joining So Rare. I don't know how good the So Rare staff are, because they keep asking if Sarah Data might join. So you guys have got a lot of ballers playing for you. I don't know, but
I think the worry is
asking us for help. No way.
I think the worry is for Sora staff that they're worrying about getting snaps off a few people. It's always the concern.
all the worried we're going to get a three-peat and just go and take it against the strongest lineup they can.
So you need the weekend before. You're going to have to be really kind on the scoring.
That's true. That
is very true. Two angry managers.
There. I was going to say we may have a few ringers here on the Sora Data team, as Vita says. So I think if anybody from SoRare knew about them, then yes, they would very much ask for our help. For this last one in Falkirk, you guys were able to record the final, which we then decided to score as if it was a regular match using the SoRare scoring matrix. I will take full blame for anything that comes up, because I was the one who did it. I have to say, it makes you really think about how certain things are scored and whatnot. There are a few things that everybody kind of just knows but doesn't really think about. And in classic Opta fashion, we had a correction this morning, which may have changed things slightly.
I can't wait. This is the only reason I've come on today.
After the deadline, by the way. After the deadline, I must
Anyway, so the reason why I feel terrible about this is because I sent an extremely hypothetical scenario to the boys a few days ago and was like, "What would it be okay if one of you happened to be the highest scorer in the final?" And given that only one of you played in the final, it was obvious hypothetically who it might be. And the situation that happened today was we were reviewing one of the big chances that was either converted or missed. And I will say that there were not many either way. But the things that you learn about when you're scoring things like this is, like, not every goal is a big chance. So, like, the assist isn't always a big chance created. An attempted assist is only for a non-assisted goal. So you don't get both. However, if you create a big chance and it's converted into a goal, you still get the chance created. You get the big chance created and the assist. And because of that, previously, and I have a graphic here that...
Does this mean the person who's got the assist didn't have the big chance created?
Oh, I think I know who got the assist as well.
So the review that came in today was basically, and there were a few people in SoRare Data, and I was like, is this a big chance? Do we want to call this a big chance? And I had done this with the others as well. And I'll be honest, for full transparency, I actually sent one to Mark a few days ago and was like, would you consider this a big chance? And in a fantastic host that he is, was like, it probably is, but let's make people feel better and not count it. And Opta's not really in the business of making people feel better. So we kept it as a big chance miss.
The opposite. Total
opposite, yes. So at the time, Az was the highest score in the game. Thanks to Az played goalie, for anyone who won't see this yet, with a score of 68.8. Now, there were two 10-minute halves. There's not a ton of time to accumulate stats. So I think there was originally like, oh, everyone's going to have hundreds. But really, when you think of it, it's just not a lot of time. Nobody's getting double doubles. I think there was one tackle the whole day. Nobody wants to get hurt. I get it. So after the rescore today, and as a reminder, Az was at 68.8. We are now at 68.9.
No. Yes,
literally 1/10 of a point. And
can I review the footage?
I didn't want to count it, and I said, you know what? We're the impartial ones here. I shouldn't let emotion change it. And so these are the top scores here these are the scores for the winning team. And yeah, I felt bad.
If there was anyone I was going to lose by 0.1 to, it would be Sam, because he did carry the greatest player
in Sora Seven's history. He literally is. We bang on about it all the time. It's honestly, it's like watching a Cockney Thierry Henry in his prime. The boy just glides. I don't know how he does it. He just glides.
Also, the way you make that formation look is like we had a good setup. That is definitely not how we looked on the pitch, but I'll take it.
Serious organization.
Yeah.
That's fair. So in addition to this graphic, because this is obviously the winning team, we have also set up a full page here.
Oh, that's stunning.
Love that.
That everyone can go to now. The link is here. I'll put it in the description of the video after this. But soradata.com/game/sorare7s. And within it, you can actually check and see all of the stats that were accumulated throughout the game. And there's the second big chance created.
Wow.
And the attempted assist that that then pushed him to 68 points.
Do we think it's feasible that we put the big chance created onto Twitter as a video and get a poll going? Who thinks it
is? So I legitimately considered that, and then what really should have happened. I should wish I had thought of this earlier, or maybe I'll send you like the little clip, and you're the one who should share it and tag me and Nicola and everyone, Dan and everyone else at SoRare, so that they can change it. But I will say it was a fairly dominant performance. I think the score is accurate. He was the best player in the game.
He was.
From just like watching it, you're just like, oh, he's actually pretty good.
So Sam was semi-pro.
Yeah, Sam is genuinely a very good footballer.
Yeah, so he was semi-pro before he had kids and discovered beer.
Happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
I will say, Jack Peter said 2.18. Jack was pretty good too.
Yeah, he was. He was good on the day. He was really good.
Yeah.
Their team was good, to be fair, and I kind of understand why they were complaining, because we played what we called Brexit football, and we just played a long ball to Sam every time, because he was semi-pro. He's got a great touch on him. He'd just touch it down and hold the ball up. That's all we did for five games straight. But
what I will say is, obviously, because I'm quite impartial to this, can you truly play Brexit football if you've got the most handsome forward in the world? I don't think it works. I don't think you look at your classic Brexit teams, your Stokes, your prime Dyche, Burnleys. They've not got anyone as attractive as Harry that's played in those teams. Burnley had Jack Cork, but he's a scruffy defensive midfielder, so it doesn't work. But look, I mean, you can't really... It doesn't really give him the credit he deserves, but he deserves extra... See, look at him. He's gorgeous.
I took the headshots on the day, and I've got one that was like a... In the moment, him looking away, smiling.
Oh, a little candid. Stop it.
You'd have thought we were doing a L'Oreal advert rather than playing Sora.
I was going to say, is there a Sora 7's calendar coming out soon? That
end up making a wallpaper.
This is what I like. Ideas. This is what I like. I think we should have a shout out to the two subs, because I actually feel, I know Atri's in the chat. I actually feel real bad for those guys, because both of them came on at half time, played 10 minutes, but didn't get the clean sheet bonus that James got. And also started with 25 rather than 35. Yep. So
didn't Atri come on after like 2 minutes because Will cramped up? I'm pretty sure he came on like straight away because Will got cramp after about 2 minutes. But he had to come on with 25 points because he came off the bench. So it is what it is.
Listen, this is like your K-League classic. All that under 23 rotation, you're going to get some 25s and 35s. This is so rare, boys. This is so rare.
So looking at these scores, like, does it look like what the scores seem to represent what you guys thought having the game played? Here, I'll try to your classic 1-2-2-2 formation here.
Yeah, it is
a classic.
it is pretty much what everyone sets up like. And then once you grow into the game, you either know you're on top and you push, or you know you're struggling and you drop someone back. But a lot of the time, you just go 2-2-2 and just see what happens.
Good for cat modes here.
Yeah, that's chuckling at that. Yeah.
So JP10 and CM Franklin on that team, both of them are very good players.
Yes.
I think in the semi-final, they absolutely hammered the other semi-finalists. I think it was 7-3, and I reffed it. And JP10, I think it's Jack P's brother, Jimmy, he scored a ridiculous goal. He danced through about half of the team and then slotted it in the corner. So I think he'll be particularly upset that the semi-final wasn't covered and the final was.
Still a very, very good game.
Yeah.
And some strong attacking AA right there.
For 20 minutes of seven 20 sides.
Minutes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad the semi-final wasn't covered as well, because I conceded 3 goals, so mine would have looked absolutely horrific.
Yeah. Genuinely, I'm glad we're all laughing about it now, at least 3 of the 4 of us of as a score not coming in. But
yes,
I do have also the special card that is it McGettigan who did him?
Yeah.
Are you guys cool with me sharing that now too?
Yeah, oh, I've only sent you one, haven't I?
Big just one shout out to McGettigan as well.
Yeah.
Because he's just offered this up. And look, look at that. How have they made you look handsome?
Oh, that's just what I do on a daily basis, mate.
That, I tell you what, that shirt's beautiful, isn't it?
It was quite a thing to see a Denny Bawanga shirt in goal.
Yeah. Well, there's a story to why I was in goal, because I, as Mark knows, on the day there were a few people that maybe didn't turn up. There were train strikes, there were bad weather, there were everything. So every now and then someone had to cover on one of the other teams just to make sure they had enough legs. And we played with that Rocco and Salah. I played on their team and scored the last minute winner for them with what I will say is a great goal. And in the process, pulled my groin, which meant that I couldn't then go play for my own team. So I then had to go in net for the rest of the tournament.
Is that back-to-back Sora Sevens with groin injuries, by the way?
It is back-to-back as well, yeah.
Need to get that checked out, buddy.
These boys, honestly, they do nothing but complain about injuries 24-7. You'll be going for an operation next year.
Listen, I've got actual war wounds to back it up. Sora Sevens ended my football career.
The most embarrassing injury I got was when we were just having a kickabout at start and I ended up stretching for something and my hamstring just went and I was like, we haven't even kicked off. And I went to, it was Atrie that's in the chat, and I was like, I've just pulled my hamstring. And he was like, you can't have, we've done nothing. I was like, no, I've genuinely just pulled my hamstring.
I'll tell you what, I will say, it's not the most embarrassing injury from the day, because luckily Rocco and Salah videoed a great portion of the day. If you haven't watched their video, definitely go and watch their video to check out all the footage they shot that day. But Salah, bearing in mind, he's 21, 22, I think. He's only a young whippersnapper at this point. Yeah. During Quinny's live podcast, cramped up and nearly kicked his table over the way that his leg straightened out
hours after.
Well, I almost volleyed John Nellis at one point, didn't I, Mark? Nellis was stood in front of us just chatting away, and all of a sudden hamstring cramp just kicked in and my leg just shot forward and almost booted. No, it's because my leg just went forward. Mark was offering to stretch me out in the middle of the pub, but we said no, probably not a good idea.
Yeah, it's not that kind of pub.
No.
That's a shame.
We went on them later.
Yeah, so actually, funnily enough,
not a bad shout,
Mike,
you know?
Mike should say that because we're actually thinking we should probably do waivers for the next one.
It's getting to that point, I think.
Yeah. I don't know who you're going to do, but yeah, might have to do some waivers.
My favourite one was seeing the day after. Was it the day after? Was it the day after that? But people saying like, oh, is anyone still struggling? And then McBride's video of him sideways down the stairs, one step at a time.
It sums it up well, because you don't realise when you don't play very often how bad you feel the next 48 hours. I was in a bad way.
So yeah, I thank you to you, Led, for doing the scoring. That was awesome. It just adds that extra bit to the event.
And I'm happy to do it.
I'm not saying thank you anyway, but these two, thank you.
As the Andre Blake Mac goes off every 10 seconds. What has happened? I feel like he gets injured and taken off every other game at this point.
Every other game, yeah. Jordan said you were hungover and that's why you were in goal.
That is part of the problem as well.
I saw someone say earlier that it feels weird to see Mark and Aaron sober on a podcast. So,
so after the Saturday night, I think I woke up at about 7 a.m. on the Sunday morning and we had to be at Falkirk, the stadium, for 10 o'clock. And it did go pass through my mind just to cancel the whole event because I was so hungover.
It should not have been as heavy as a night out before the event as it was. But knew a Saturday night out in Falkirk was an unbelievable night, so by the way. Like, people don't believe me. We had a great night out.
So did they win? Did they lift the trophy that day as well for the league title?
Yeah.
Was it quite busy, like, out on the night out? Or was it mainly just, like, so rare taking over?
Busier than I thought. I mean, don't forget, there was only about 30 of us there the night before, which is not that much compared to going into a nightclub like we did. But it was a lot busier than I thought it would be. Like, I was really impressed with it. And I couldn't see straight. That might be why.
And it was £3.30 for a Jack and Coke. Like, what can you say?
It was how much?
£3.30 for a Jack and Coke, mate.
Yeah,
is there any wonder I had 12?
I was going to say, I paid more for a pint of just Coke. Like,
it's like a giant Witherspoons is Falkirk. That's how I describe it. It's just a giant Witherspoons.
One big Witherspoons.
Just better looking woman and a shorter walk to the toilet.
Yeah. I better not say that too loud. The missus is down there. But there was talent on show on both days, weren't there, Mark?
There was, yeah. Adam will come back now complaining about his knee. There we go.
I'm back. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. It just refreshed and brought me back. That's absolutely slanderous. I can't believe it.
How do you mean, mate?
Listen, Mark's giving it the big in here, saying like, oh, we're never going to hear the last of it. Like he didn't come up last Friday to check in on me, get a little burger together. We had a nice little meal, watched some football, watched a bit of Friday night TV, and he's like, oh, is it, can I do anything? Do you need me to do anything before I go? Can I get anything for you? And now he's like, oh, Adam complaining about his knee. Like he was my nurse for at least 4 hours. So I'm not having this slander.
Just being a good friend, mate.
I was going to say, that sounds very positive. I feel like you're making fun of him for something we'd all be like, hey, I like that.
No, I just want consistency. I'm getting mixed messages, Laird. This is my issue. Getting mixed messages. I feel like I'm being gaslit.
You said no to me showering in, but yeah.
I don't think I was showering at that point, to be fair.
I was more sponge of a bath, guy,
sponge bath hiatus. Yeah.
Sponge bath on the sofa instead.
Something like that, yeah.
So back to So Rare Sevens.
Thank you.
This is what we do. We go off on tangents and then someone brings it around. So usually me. Not only is it a good like kick around with some fellow So Rare managers, it's an awesome social afterwards as well. So obviously we had Quinny do his live podcast. You can check that out on his channel now. And that was... That was brilliant again. So big thanks to him for that. And we had a really good raffle with lots of good prizes, some Sarah Data memberships from your good selves, some signed jerseys, non-signed jerseys and match tickets from Sarah, as well as Sarah caps and hoodies and all of that sort of stuff. So, you know, on the basis that there's probably about 40 odd prizes on offer and there's only about 60 people there, you stand a pretty good chance at winning something.
For sure. Yeah, you would do if everyone didn't think that the raffle was rigged, because every time someone won, they'd already previously won. And I was just getting stick all day.
I feel like that happened at Ilkeston last year, though. Like, the amount of people who won two prizes, or like somebody would win one that they couldn't use. It's like Haber won and then threw it back in, and then somebody else would win that had already won. It was, that was mad.
It's just a preview of multi-entry. That's all.
This is it. I told you. It's surprisingly reflective of So Rare.
And how many So Rare data memberships did you give away, Matt?
One too many. I had to give up my own at least.
Oh, God. I think the beer might have hit by then, because we were walking back to the car in the morning, weren't we? And you were just shaking your head going, I don't know what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to pay for some annual membership.
We'll record it. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good.
No, nobody's ever had beer fear over a sore air data membership before.
Scosmo missed it before, Mark. Do you want to go through the dates of the or of the other ones in July?
Yeah, so I mentioned obviously the Paris one. So just on the Paris one, we are putting a page on our website actually where you can go and you can register interest if you want to represent your nation. So by the end of this month, that page will be up and live, and we'll probably give like a 2-week window if anyone wants to go on there and register interest. And then what we'll do is each country has got a team captain. So I'll download all of the information of the people that registered interest. I'll pass it on to your team captain. You'll know the team captains by the time it goes out. And then they'll be in contact with you because it's a bit of a tough ask dragging people to Paris at their own expense effectively to play in the tournament. We need to try and make sure that people are actually committed to coming, because obviously we get, as you imagine, we get a lot of people, like with Serie Sevens, a lot of people buy tickets and then pull out last minute or can't come or for various reasons. But with that, it kind of needs to be like a, are you serious about coming kind of thing. In terms of the, so we're actually, there's going to be a UK team and not an England team. Because we know there's quite a few people from Scotland and maybe one or two from Wales that want to play. So we're going to do a UK team rather than an England team. Otherwise, half the tournament would be full of Englishmen, Welshmen and Scottishmen.
Trying to limit that.
Yeah. Limit that as much possible. And I don't think it's £3.30 a drink in Paris, unfortunately.
It's absolutely.
Give you water.
But to answer the question, so the second one in July will be the weekend of the 27th and 28th of July. Provisionally, it was Saturday the 27th, but I was actually contacted by the ground today to say that they actually got a friendly on the Saturday. So it may be that we have to do the tournament on Sunday the 28th, and that is in Ilkeston in Nottingham. So
Derby.
Is it in Derby?
Nottingham.
Is it not?
Yeah, it's not Nottingham. It's Derby.
It's near Nottingham.
Is it not?
It's. I'm 95% sure Ilkeston's in Derby, not Nottingham.
Somebody else in the chat said that as well.
Oh, we've been telling everyone it's in Nottingham for like the last 18 months.
To be fair, I don't know why I've never pulled you on that, because I live in Derby. So
It's close enough.
It is. It's probably closer to like Nottingham than it is like the middle of Derby.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so that's the exact page you got there, lad. Yeah.
So, pretty simple.
Yeah, that's it. That register interest link is actually live now. So if you want to, you can register now without knowing any details about the event. But I would say to you, make sure you wait for the details before you register your interest. And then the Serie Sevens Ilkeston, as I said, that was provisionally in at 27th of July, but it could be the 28th. But it will be that weekend. So come over for the whole weekend, and if it's on the Saturday, we'll go out after and have a few beers. If it's on the Sunday, we'll go out on the Saturday night and have a few beers, and the Sunday night and have a few beers. So there we go.
Just encouraging from these double nights out. Yeah, this is it. Yeah.
Those are the plans. Those are the plans. We think that Ilkeston might be quite popular based on the feedback we've had, and we're going to try and make it, you know, we're going to try and make everyone slightly different in a way, just to try and keep it fresh. What I'd actually like to know from the people that are in the chat is, what would you like to see at a Serie Sevens event? What could we do to make it awesome?
Other than my team not winning.
Yeah. I'm actually going to build a team to beat Az's team this time, because they can't win three-peat
needs to happen. It's like the Kansas City Chiefs of Sore Air Sevens. That's what it is. Just unbeatable.
The worst breaking news we could offer is that Sam has already told us that he's unavailable.
Yeah, that is true. So the player of the final, the highest scoring player in Sora 7's Opta history is unavailable, unfortunately.
Taylor Swift
halftime show. Oh, I'm so on board. I will have seen it twice by that point, so I'll be able to put that show on for you myself.
Maybe we'll do that. Well, you can't play, so you just do it.
Yeah, that is true. I won't be fit. I'll be back on two legs and maybe reffing. I'll definitely be there this time. I'll definitely be there for that one.
I'm sure I can get like a dodgy Taylor Swift impersonator to come along.
We won't have any.
Oh my God, please, please.
We won't have any of that. Don't accept that. There probably is a Taylor Swift tribute act nearby, you know?
Probably.
That's Mark, this is it again.
We've spoke about this.
This is the big one.
We've actually had like 3 or 4 messages from people asking to do one in the US.
If only there was some major football tournament happening here sometime in the next couple of years. Oh, well.
I don't think, nothing that I can think of. America's not that big on football, really. So,
probably just another league cup.
Yeah. Yeah. But we have actually talked about it, haven't we?
We have. I feel like we need to recruit someone in the States. We need some boots on the ground to help us with that one.
If only we had like contacts, like in good places, in like, you know, like the places we need them to be. If only we had those in like a major, you know, like a major city as well. Like that would be like a good hub. If only we had those.
Yeah, great ideas all around. Sure,
Laird, if you can think of anyone,
I'll see if I can reach out to anybody.
Or someone who has plenty of time on his hands to organize. Casey's. I assume that would be like the most central location as well, right? That's fairly central.
Literally central, yeah. Central of the country, but yeah.
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 I would love to do that.
It's a feasible option as well. It's not
maybe
like
I'll scout some locations when I'm out there in September.
If you've got Sora planning on doing European Championships, as it's called, in Paris, then surely with this much notice, it's something that could easily be in the pipeline.
You don't.
Our issue is we don't know of facilities and prices and all that kind of stuff over there, do we?
Glenn's got it.
Look at that. This is what we need. We need the community to come together.
You're in.
100%.
Now we just need somebody who owns an airline.
Pranksy?
Yeah, Pranksy Airways.
Pranksy Flies.
Pranksy Airways. I tell you what, the amount he's cashing in every week, he can't be far off. He's winning that much at the minute. He's just resorting to giving them away. We're not far off people complaining every 6 months about what we're doing and why we're doing it wrong, despite the fact we haven't actually announced anything.
Yeah, right. I'll tell you, it will be early May.
Early May. You need some time off.
It'll arrive in June.
Yeah. Well, we need complaints about the scoring system first and then the roadmap.
Then yeah, how hard it is to win on the raffle. How hard it is to win on the raffle.
The rewards. Yeah.
Yeah, true. True. That's true. Yeah.
What else can we do?
Was there anything that happened during the tournament that, obviously, I only saw the final. So, like, were there any highlights from the other matches that were worth giving anybody credit for or shit?
Mark, what about the McBride own goal?
Right, so McBride.
That's all I need to know.
This is brilliant.
McBride pulled off an absolute worldie of a save in the first game. Literally, it was going top corner. He tipped it around the post. It was an amazing save. From the resulting corner, I think, the ball came in, got flicked up in the air. He went to jump and catch it, missed it, and the ball basically hit him on the arse and went in.
The Mark Sanchez special.
Oh yeah.
There is a video of it, I think, on Twitter, is there not? Because was it the player of the tournament that did that?
Yeah.
Took the strike as well. So I think that Rocco Salah has put it on to show the initial save, and then there's also a separate clip of the cock up as well. It's all there.
There's at least one good Megs every Sora 7s.
Every year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Kevin Doe on Haber will still top the list, I think.
And Adrian were on my Haber team, and it was an unbelievable Megs as well, because it was one of them where he just stumbled backwards and he were around him. He didn't even turn and chase him. Just took his fate and accepted it.
Just walk off. Just give it, sub it off, walk it off.
I did give the most controversial of penalties you've ever seen.
Wow. Wait, who to?
Not to us.
It was to Salah and Rocco's team, wasn't it? Was you playing in that game, though?
No, I was watching you, because you weren't watching when the thing, and you asked me if it was a pen or not. So I said, yeah, and it never was.
So it was your ball. So the ref wasn't watching. VAR just gave a penalty. When it. But again, like I said, this is real life.
Yeah, yeah. I'm basically a Prem qualified now.
It was basically a foul like at the corner flag. But obviously in 5 or 7 aside, you don't really have an area. You've just kind of got where the penalty spot is, and then you're not allowed to pick it up past that. So then it was by the penalty, it was like by the corner flag, and Mark went watching, and they've just suddenly turned around to all this, ref, ref, ref. And he went, is that a pen? I went, yeah. And as soon as he gave it, there were people running, like, what, how is that? And he was just like, it's a pen.
Double down at that point. Start booking people for dissent.
It was the moment that people started surrounding me, shouting, "It's never a pen." But I thought probably made the wrong call here. But I stuck by
your first mistake was listening to us. That's a mistake in itself.
Should we tell how we stitched John Nellis up in the club?
Oh yeah, do it.
So. Myself as and Will, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So we went on a night out and John came with us. And we're in this, like, how would you describe it? Shit grotty on. Sunday. Yeah, oh, it's open on a Sunday night till 4 a.m. So.
That tells you all you need to know. Yeah. Tells you all you need to know.
so we walked into this club, right? And it is horrendous. There was a wedding after party on. Right. So there was like a sandwich finger buffet out. Right. But at that point, they'd opened the club to the public. So we went in and there was like a mixture of people just in tracksuits and then a mixture of people in like proper suits, like tucking into a finger buffet. It was the weirdest setup ever. Anyway, so we were all on the dance floor and John goes, oh, I'm just.
That's the grimiest bar I've ever been to.
Yeah, Jordan was there, yeah.
That's something.
Anyway, John goes, oh, I'm just going to pop to the toilet. So we went up to the DJ and told the DJ to do a full-on shout-out for John Nellis celebrating his 40th birthday party in Falkirk in this club on a Sunday night. So John come back from the toilet, they cut the music, and the DJ gets on the mic and gives it the whole word. This is a big shout out to Mr. John Nellis, who's here celebrating his 40th birthday in Falkirk tonight. And then there's just like silence, and people look around like, what? Why the fuck would you be here on your 40th birthday? But
followed up by a
people look like they were questioning why John was celebrating his 40th birthday in there. He wasn't, but no one was questioning why someone was having their wedding party.
Andy, no, Nellis is not 40.
No,
he can celebrate 40 whenever you want.
He don't look
he's about 10 years younger than that, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he just turned 30. Yeah.
Oh, is it always looking rough for 30 then?
Well, that's him never coming back on us.
He was never coming back anyway. John, you don't look a day over 25, mate, if you are listening. Love you.
Oh, don't come crawling back now.
Yeah.
We've been chatting on the Instagram DMs, haven't we? So I've got to keep him sweet.
All right. So how many people ended up at this event?
About just under 60.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rico was right. John doesn't watch this. He doesn't watch it. And So you guys obviously had the first, like you had the experience of the first one. For those who are interested in participating in future ones, what's the quality of the football like?
There is none.
Yeah, it's just secondary to the event. It's something to do during the day, really. Yeah. Like there's always going to be good players, and there's always going to be some people who take it more seriously than others. But like, it's probably similar to like a PE lesson at school, or like a gym class for the Americans that are watching.
Thank you. Yeah, I had no idea.
Because there's always like your football players take it seriously. Your kids that don't really like sport don't take it that seriously. That's from obviously mine. That's how I took it more than anything.
To be fair, the surprising thing about this event was that, and I mean this in the most respectful way, the people you wouldn't expect to have any footballing ability were actually like some of the standout players. Like Wakey was genuinely class. That Ewan who turned up, he got player of the day. McBride in net, Chris sorry, on a budget in net. They were as much as, not that you're saying you wouldn't expect them to have any talent at all, but as in you just think like there's 20 odd year olds running around and there's 40s and 50 year olds running around, and they were actually way up to the standard of everyone else. So it shows that kind of anyone can just turn up and play football, really. It's not nothing serious.
The standard was good for Scotland, put it that way.
I wondered how long it would be.
When you were saying, like, you, as you were like, they were better than, when did you decide if they were good or not before seeing them play? Like, who did you decide you were like, there's no way they're good, and then they were good, and what was it that made you think they were not good?
The way they tweet.
I'll throw myself. Yeah, that's what I'll say. Well, it's like for someone like McBride, who's posting a pint of Guinness every 3 hours, I didn't think he was going to turn up and be unbelievable between the sticks. Like, I just thought he was going to be average at best. But no, I don't actually think on the day you could turn around and say they weren't good. Like, everyone was a good enough standard just to have a kick about, really.
So one thing we're like very conscious of when we're setting it up is that a lot of people, some people that don't turn up don't know anyone. And we know that there's going to be a mixed ages, mixed abilities. So that's why when you sort of purchase a ticket for So Rare Sevens, you can request to play with up to four friends in your team and a maximum of four friends in your team effectively. And what we then do is we then take sort of individual players and put a few individual players together, a few guys that come in pairs, and we try and it's difficult because we don't know everyone, but you know, just from like, you know, Sarah names and Twitter handles and stuff, we get a good gauge roughly of who people are, and we try and make the teams as fair as possible. And I think that's kind of been reflected. I know Az's team has won both the tournaments so far, but it's kind of reflected in the outcomes because a lot of the games, there's no thrashings in any of the games.
I was going to say, yeah.
No, there's never a battle. Like the final this year was only 1-0. There's been very few like absolute drubbings. Yeah. So,
and like last year, first game, we got beat off the Thursday club, who brought up like a full five-a-side team, didn't they? And then we ended up winning it. They got beat on a penalty shootout. And I think it evens out over the day, to be honest.
Yeah. Mark, if you were going to pick an individual out for travelling up on their own and coming up without any friends and knowing anyone, who would you pick out?
Atree. No friends.
There's a clear one.
Shout out to Walshy.
Big Walshy.
So, real nice guy.
So he messaged you, didn't he, Mark? I'll let you explain, because you had all the DMs for him, didn't you?
I don't know what I'm explaining, mate, to be honest. He rocked up.
Well, he basically was like, I don't know anyone. I've never been before. I don't know what I'm doing kind of thing. I've never travelled on my own. I've never gone to an event. I don't know anyone that's there. And he just turned up on the night out on the Saturday and just sat down. He was like, I don't drink. I don't normally go out and all this stuff. And he was just like, turned up when he bought like two JD and Cokes.
Oh, is he? Yeah.
Is that guy? Just necked them both instantly. Didn't even have a breath between. And then just sat down and went, that's me done for drinking for the night, but I'll stay out until the last bit. And he just stayed out all night with everyone, just chin-wagging and getting on with everyone. And I will hold my hand up. I do apologise. I did swill him with a pint by mistake. But other than that, he were a top lad. And it's just good. Like, that's when you're on about people not knowing anyone. that's the kind of atmosphere it is. Once you're there after 2 minutes, you just feel comfortable because everyone's just talking the same story, yeah, the same sort of stuff.
We're making jokes saying it's kind of like the only place in real life that it's socially acceptable just to get your phone out and scroll through your SO5 and show people your so rare results, and they actually understand what you're going on about. So it's quite nice.
Yeah, you finally found another human being that cares.
Yeah, there's no way I'd admit in public to what my lineups look like at the minute. So even at a so rare event, I wouldn't be showing those.
I don't know what they look like anyway.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible.
I think that is a great... That is like a great like draw for it, though, is that it's a bunch of people. Obviously, So Rare is what made everybody know each other. But it is like it gives you that opportunity to go into a place with a bunch of people you do not know. And you all have a very, very big thing in common. And you know that going in. And so I would be the same. I would have no interest in showing up at a place that I have don't know anybody and all of that. But So Rare gives you that opportunity to say like, yeah. And some people just have, you know people by their So Rare names. You're like, oh, you're, whatever.
Well, that
free range chicken. Thank
God. The first one, the free range chicken, God rest his soul. the first one last year, because like Mark said, it was before like make it a double double. So again, Twitter was like all we had to go off. I think Aaron was the only one who had like any social media presence, and that was purely through being an Issy Palazon fanboy, because he turned up in his Issy Rayo Vallecano top, and it was like, oh, you're Azzy Mac on Twitter.
I was so confused that day. I had like three or four different people come up and go, oh, you must be Azzy, because no one else owns a Rayo Vallecano shit.
Right.
So that was a bit of an experience.
Jack said it was strange sitting in a pub Saturday with 15 lads on Sora Data. Thank you for doing that. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. It's also funny because people play matches, and as soon as the final whistle goes, everyone goes straight to their phone to check Sora Data. Because it was Saturday afternoon as well, wasn't it? So no, it wasn't. It was Sunday.
What Sunday afternoon. Sunday,
yeah. No, there was a lot of games on.
There were loads of games on, yeah. There were even times you were like, we need to kick off the next game, and there were just a group of people sat on the floor on the phone.
It's been a while since I've called anyone that, A3.
That's been a while.
I just tell people to grow up now.
For us, like, one thing we're really conscious of, and one thing that, like, I hope the guys that came to the event experienced, was that we try, because we're sort of organising it, we try and make a point of being really welcoming to everyone. So, like, trying to make a point, because I feel a little bit responsible for that, in a way, like, making sure that everyone's having a good time and stuff. So, you know, if we see people on their own, we like to try and make sure that everyone's integrated and just, talking so rare, really.
I think that's why, like, you've done a really good job with the teams, because we do have, like, a probably more than I expected amount of people that do come on their own. Mm. Like Pavel, literally. Pavel came from Poland. I think he came both times, right?
Yeah, he brought his brother this time.
Yeah, he brought his brother this time. So last time, came to Ilkeston on his own, didn't know anybody. And because you can put him on a team, like, what a sound guy. And, like, just getting to talk to people through the day. Like, I think because people would make teams, like, full teams on their own if they could, I think leaving those few spots open is not that one, Hershey. It's a different Pavel. Well, we think, it could be the real deal.
He denied it. And that's what Pavel would say.
That is, Pavel would deny it. I'd be able to smell it on him. I'd be able to smell it on him if it was the real one.
It's definitely not him, because he's nice.
Yeah, you'd be able to tell, because there'd be little trails of blood from where he'd been sucking it from other people.
Did you guys see, it must have been like 2 years ago, that somebody like sent out this video on Twitter and claimed that it was like Pavel in a bar and that they like hung out with him all night?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, they claimed
it was a while ago.
Yeah.
And then he confirmed it wasn't him.
That's worse than pretending you hung out with Pavel. Not actually hanging out with him.
Poor bloke's gonna get two-footed for no reason.
It was him. He tried to swap a pint for seven of mine. It's a pint of Carlin as well. One pint of Carlin for seven San Miguel's.
That's a good one, that.
My favourite type of slander.
Quinny had his for the podcast. Quinny had his "Your offer was rejected by Powell Trader" T-shirt on.
Did he?
Yeah,
that's mint.
We need to get some of those.
Can't remember the last time I sent him an offer, to be honest.
Has anyone explained the story of Quinny not turning up to the event on time because he got it wrong?
Oh, he went to the Falkirk Stadium.
He thought the event of the afternoon was at Falkirk Stadium as well.
So he went back to the
stadium. he rang McBride being like, "Where is everyone?" And we're like, "We're at the bar." Why? He was like, "No, but I'm at the bar. It's empty." He was like, "No, everyone's upstairs." And he was at a random bar in Falkirk Stadium thinking that's where we were holding the event. And he had to drive back into town just to come and do the podcast.
Oh, dear. What a boy. What a boy for doing this podcast. What a mint guy.
I watched it. Over on if anybody hasn't seen it's over on his Quinny 3001 channel, so definitely check that out.
So other than the USA, sorry, glad you go.
No, please.
I was just going to say, other than the USA, which would take a lot of planning, where else should we do one feasibly?
Somebody was talking about Australia before, and that seems less feasible to me.
I was going
to
say that's probably the least feasible place.
Right, literally the least feasible. Antarctica, maybe.
Yeah, I saw a few people tagging. Yeah, I saw a few people tagging the Down Under boys, saying you need to do one over here.
Yeah, but what people don't realize is they might live in the same country, but the distance between them is bigger than the UK.
Yeah, it's not like the
difference between them is so far that there's a time difference.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, they're both Australian, but it's not the same.
We went to a different country, but they were still in the same time.
Still not as far. Yeah, exactly. Rare Wrexham would be good. Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds there.
I've just started watching season two, finally, now that they've secured their back-to-back promotions.
Mm-hmm. It is for a men's mental health charity. You never know. He might actually make an appearance.
I will launch myself off the highest point in Wrexham if I ever meet Ryan Reynolds at Sora Sevens. Also, very much so. He's a wonderful, stunning man. A bit of respect for Rob McElhenney as well, because he is a superstar. Always just gets referred to as the other guy.
The other guy, yeah.
It's literally Ryan Reynolds and the other guy, where it was Rob McElhenney's idea. Like, it was his idea.
It was just Ryan's bank account.
Yeah, Ryan's money, for sure.
Ryan Reynolds and the other guy saw Sevens. That's got a ring to it.
Yeah, for sure. Good film, by the way, The Other Guys. That's a throwback.
Do you guys have you had other people contact you about wanting to like host a seven somewhere else and not necessarily asking you to do all the work?
A few Netherlands one in the match.
Yeah, there's been a lot of shout about the Netherlands. There was a little bit about Spain, but then I think that kind of came away with the Paris stuff because that was Nacho.
Mm. Yeah.
I think
we should just choose a proper like party destination just to go out and have like a weekend somewhere. Just go like Sora Sevens Ibiza.
Sora Sevens Zante.
Yeah. Or Maga or somewhere. Magalo.
Hosted by Wayne Lineker.
Oh, Christ. Christ alive. I feel like this is lost on anyone that's not English because there's no way Wayne Lineker's travelled outside of England.
Mallorca?
Mallorca.
Sorry, Simon's Mallorca at Bank. Yeah, that'd be good.
That would be good.
Just anywhere warm, even though I have burnt in Ilkeston and Falkirk so far, so I would need some serious sun cream if I went anywhere other than the UK.
Azzy Mac, the only person in the world to ever get a sunburning from Falkirk.
on the cloudiest day they've ever had.
Like, I was going to say, it wasn't much sun when I...
Nope, there wasn't.
It's all about the UV rays, mate. It's not just the sunlight. It's the UV rays. It penetrates clouds. You can always get burned.
Someone told me it was windburn, but I don't know how much I believe it.
I would believe it from hearing the audio from the video.
It was really windy on the day.
So one thing I will say, though, is if anyone wants to do an event, just try, have a go. And if you want to contact us and, you know, we can help, we'll help as much as we can. Obviously, it's really difficult for us to do it in other countries because we do have lives outside of this. And it was difficult enough. But just give it a go. And I think when we first started it in Ilkeston, obviously we did not expect Sora to get involved at all.
No.
We would have done it anyway. And it just so happened that I think Nicholas saw what we was doing and asked Dan to get in contact with us. So we had a message out the blue from Dan to say, we see what you're doing. You know, we're happy to support you. So, and that's how that started. So, just give it a go. I'm sure there'll be people in the community that will help you. And our DMs are open if you want some help.
This is it. Like, we don't copyright seven aside kickabouts. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was just a catchy, easy, like, name to get people involved on it. So you do need to trademark it though, Mark, at this point, I think. Get it actually copyrighted. And then no one can ever play seven aside again without giving us money for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that works. Well, this is it. Got to play six.
What about a non-football Sora event? So we were on about this, weren't we, Mark, saying rather Sora than golf day. Playing football.
Oh, Sora golf day. Golf day. Just go around in foursomes. That'd be mint.
Yeah. My only issue is that how do you score the final?
It don't matter. When I'm 30 shots clear, there's no point scoring it. So it's what it is, isn't it?
You'd be in a buggy all the way around. You can't stand up.
Oh, yeah, Adam's got a knee injury.
Yeah, no.
You two mentioned it more than me today.
we were talking about doing an event which doesn't have football, so we'll just, you know, like a non-ticketed thing. Just say, look, we're going to go here, we're going to go to a bar, we'll rent out a bar on this day, this time. Come meet us and have some drinks and talk Sora.
So at this point, we're literally just sorting out Sora 7's meet and greets.
I didn't mean meet us as in like, you know.
make it a double meet and like, greet.
Meet everyone. Yeah.
Who do we think we are?
Yeah, I show up and you guys aren't there and I'm like, oh, that was the point.
Adam's probably having another operation.
Yeah.
Mark's at all meeting duck and quinoa on a Wednesday.
I'd sign up for that too, actually.
I'll be there, do you know what? In a bar.
A mark from Make It a Double Double cooking class. That's the next thing we can organize. For sure. I'm there. 100%. I'm there.
Yeah. I love that. You supply the ingredients, I'll supply the cooking.
No, everybody brings their own, like a high school cooking class. Like you bring all your own stuff. You all have like a little station. Yeah, cook along with Mark. That's it. Yeah.
The great British Sora 7's Bake Off.
Yeah. Just hire a big tent and everyone gets pissed while we make cakes.
Sounds like a good event.
I'll be fun for sure. I'm gonna let you guys go because you have more work to do.
Yeah, we do. We're jumping straight into another recording that'll be
Speaking of that, if everybody here has not already done so, go subscribe to Make It a Double Double on YouTube. I listen on Spotify. Although now it feels like ever since you guys went and started posting on YouTube, it's become a more visual show. Like you make fun of each other. And I'm like, wait, I want to see that. And then I have to like go.
I think because at first we were quite skeptical, weren't we, about putting it on YouTube. And then I think it became apparent because we've always got the cameras on, but we weren't recording the cameras. Like to make the conversation flow easier. Yeah. And I think it became evident quite quickly that actually there is like quite a lot of like visual humor. Like the amount of times I'll roll my eyes at something someone says and then Aaron will just laugh at me for pulling a face. But like imagine not being able to see the reaction to me getting marked with a Motherwell joke. Like it's priceless at this point. It's priceless.
Best content you'll ever see.
Honest to God. That's literally the example I had in my head when I was like, it's become a more visual. I was in the car listening and I just stopped it. And I'm like, I'm going home and I'm watching this. And I have to go back and watch it.
So you might think Adam getting me with a Motherwell joke is the greatest use of the Motherwell joke, right? But Az got a Scotsman in a kebab shop at 3 a.m. after Sarah Sevens with a joke.
They were asking us who we support, and I think it was you, Mark, that said Motherwell, and he replied, going, he like really angry, like Motherwell, and I went, who? He went, who do you support? Motherwell. I went, yeah, she's all right, thanks yourself. And he just literally his face went off. it was like he was Scottish and got done by his own joke. It was perfect.
It's that is it hits every time. Every time.
Yeah, it does.
It will never not be funny to me. It will never not be funny to me.
It will to me.
But that makes it funnier for me.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so everybody go subscribe there, wherever you want to listen. Do both. It doesn't matter. Sorter7s.com for anything. We just like kicked Adam off again. Did he just leave?
Look at us in each other, Mark. Yeah. See what his reaction is.
I've had a shambles here. I don't know. It keeps just freezing me and bringing me back in.
It's probably my don't people get thrown off all the time. Not your fault. My fault. My apologies. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for all of the stuff that you guys are doing for Sorter7s. Obviously, it's become an event that a lot of people are interested in. And hopefully they just keep getting bigger and bigger and eventually so big that you can just do this as your full-time jobs and you don't have to worry about all of the regular stuff. Thank you three. And thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Thanks
as
for
always,
having us on.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
Appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure.
See you in Ilkeston.
Speak to you all soon.
See you guys.
See ya.